नमो भोम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 16। न यावदेतान् मनात्मलिंगम् संसारतापावपनम् जनस्य यत् शोकमोहामयरागलोभ वैरानुबंधम ममताम विधत्ते नया। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। The soul's designation, the mind, is the cause of all tribulations in the material world. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable condition of the material body and wander within this universe in different positions. Because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity, it creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world. The mind is the cause of both material bondage and liberation. The impure mind thinks, I am this body. The pure mind knows that he is not the material body. Therefore, the mind is considered to be the root of all material designations. Until the living entity is aloof from the association and contamination of this material world, the mind will be absorbed in such material things as birth, death, disease, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity. In this way, the living entity is conditioned and he suffers material miseries. So, very beautiful verse describing the power of the mind. And this chapter is entitled Jada Bharat Instructs King Rahugana. So Jada means less intelligent or one who is dull. And Krishna says in Gita in the end of 15th chapter, Etat buddhva buddhiman syat krita krityascha bharata. That one who understands the contents of this 15th chapter, he is buddhiman. So real intelligent person is one who understands the science of the soul and the super soul and the relationship between them. And therefore, in one sense, here, Bharat Maharaj, who has taken birth as Jada Bharat, he is aware of all the mysteries of this transcendental science. So it appears ironic that Jada Bharat is instructing King Rahugana, a Rajarshi. But this term Jada is something which has been socially accepted because of certain activities which he showed. But in real sense, he is intelligent. He is really intelligent because he knows the intricacies of this science. And therefore, many times, one who is absorbed in the expertise of a particular field may appear to be jada or foolish to someone else in some other field. Someone may sit in front of a computer and spend hours, and he may be solving very intricate problems. But someone who is not aware of that, a farmer may come and think that this person is just wasting his time here. Should be working in the sun. And someone else may be doing something, but unless the intricacies of what he is doing is known to others, then it is not possible to understand the power which this person holds. So Bharat Maharaj has appeared as Jada Bharat, but all the mysteries of the transcendental science are known to him. He is aware of them, and therefore he is in a position to release King Rahugana from his miseries. And therefore we can see that a conditioned soul who is suffering is trapped in a quicksand, and unless someone provides help from outside and pulls him out, he cannot come out. And therefore, that medium to pull out a person from his ignorance is transcendental knowledge, and the medium for transcendental knowledge is sound vibration. And therefore, ultimately, it is transcendental sound vibration which saves the soul from his suffering condition. And therefore, these instructions are not just instructions, but they are medicinal doses which revive a conditioned soul from the death throes of repeated birth and death. And therefore, these instructions in various parts of the Bhagavatam are very, very important. And it all depends on how the person accepts the instructions. Just as Maharaj Parikshit is the recipient of the original instructions of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and all of these descriptions are part of those. So this is, these instructions of Jada Bharat are coming as part of the instructions which Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, and that is being repeated by Suta Goswami to the Sages of Naimisharanya. So basically, these instructions are being given by a spiritually realized soul to someone in dire necessity. And so Maharaj Parikshit is facing death, and many times we feel that these instructions and this knowledge can be accepted when we are comfortably situated, when everything is peaceful, when everything is nice, then I can concentrate on these books, then I can open the Bhagavatam, and then I can focus. But I am not able to study nowadays because there is too much of anxiety. There are too many difficulties going on. And when the anxieties are over, then I will open the book, and then I will be able to concentrate better. Whereas the original instruction of the Bhagavatam was given to a person who, by all practical standards, should have been in the deepest of depression because everything went wrong for him in his life. Maharaj Parikshit was young, successful, beautiful, opulent, born in the most aristocratic family, and then for no fault of his, although spent his whole life religiously without committing a single sin, there is no history of Maharaj Parikshit ever committing any kind of sin. In fact, he had the credit of challenging sin-personified Kali and defeating him single-handedly. But in spite of so many pious spiritual credits, and also seeing Krishna within the womb of his mother, still a young 5-year-old boy cursed him to die in 7 days and 7 nights. So therefore, when our life is going in a certain direction, and then suddenly everything drastically changes against our will, then that becomes the cause for great frustration, dejection, and depression. And here Maharaj Parikshit should have been cast into the deepest of miserable condition mentally. But he is sitting here in front of Shukadeva Goswami, and rather than trying to use his intelligence and his brain to analyze his problem and try to solve his problem with his intelligence, he is taking shelter of the transcendental sound vibration at this time of calamity. So the typical mentality of the conditioned soul is, every problem is solvable with my brain. And that is the cause for greatest frustration. So therefore, the highest intelligent personalities realize that in spite of using my intelligence to the fullest degree, it is not possible to solve the ultimate problems of my life. Therefore, beyond a certain stage, it is better to switch off my intelligence in terms of trying to solve my problem and switch on the spiritual intelligence to try to connect to the transcendental sound vibration and take shelter of that, because that vibration contains the solution to my problems and not the use of my mundane intelligence. And this was the glory of Maharaj Parikshit, that at that time he was concentrating and focusing on the sound vibration of the Bhagavatam, and he was taking shelter of the sound vibration of the Bhagavatam, which is the most difficult thing to do when one is faced with an anxiety-ridden situation. So Maharaj Parikshit was sitting and hearing from Shukadeva Goswami these instructions, these pastimes, But generally when we are in anxiety, our hearing becomes very inattentive. We are sitting, but mind is simultaneously solving our problem. So the sound vibration is going in, but the mind is not focused. We may even be sitting, looking at the speaker, sometimes nodding the head also, but the mind is not there. Because the mind is absorbed in the problem, and many times when we are faced with calamity, we become so self-centered that, oh, why am I going through this misery so much? That it becomes difficult to focus on the sound vibration. One develops so much of love for himself that why I have been put in so much of misery? Why I am the object of so much misery although I am so good? That because of this deep sense of identification with one's own false ego, one becomes caught in a mental spiral and it becomes impossible for him to pay attention to the sound vibration. So Maharaj Parikshit is sitting in front of Shukadeva Goswami and hearing the description of hellish planets. Now he may be thinking that there is no way I am going to hell because I am so pious and I have seen Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami is going on describing one hell after another, 28, 29 hells he describes. So generally, when we are facing some problem and people are discussing some other topic, then we become impatient and we think, why is going on and on and on this topic? Let us try to discuss my problem first. What is going to happen to me? So here, Shukadeva Goswami is describing all of the miseries of hellish planets. And Maharaj Parikshit is not thinking, okay, all those souls are going to hell, but what about me? I am not going to hell. So please, do something about me and provide some solution for that Takshak who is going to come. He was not impatient, he was not bewildered, he was focused and he could concentrate on the sound vibration of Bhagavatam in spite of the impending problem of that snake bird coming and biting him. And if I put myself in that situation, I can see it is the most difficult thing to do. Because the mind, because of the identification with the false ego, generally convinces us that the solution of the problem is still here. Between the 2 years, it is there and we can do it. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is considered to be glorious because he was taking shelter of the sound vibration of the Bhagavatam, completely absorbed. Nivishtastat anugrahat. He was absorbed in this subject matter and he had faith that simply by giving submissive oral reception, I can actually have the ultimate solution to my problems. So even after all those hellish planets were described, he still had the compassion to ask, how will those souls be delivered who are going to hell? Because when we are in a miserable condition, we stop thinking about others and we just become focused on ourselves only. But in spite of hearing about them, Parikshit Maharaj didn't think, okay, they are going anyway, let them go. What about me? No. He said in the sixth canto beginning, is there any solution? How these people can be saved? And then gradually all of these descriptions began. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a gradual evolution of how the soul can be saved from the conditioned state by the sound vibration, the transcendental sound vibration. And this entire science is perfectly revealed in the dialogue between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami in what mood and what consciousness a recipient should accept the sound vibration, and only then the potency of the sound vibration will be revealed. The solution is here, but because we do not take shelter of this sound vibration, therefore we do not see the potency and the effect. Therefore, the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Observing the Armies. So Arjuna was right next to Krishna. Arjuna could just extend his hand and he could touch Krishna. He could touch Krishna, he could see Krishna, he could feel Krishna, he could hear Krishna, he could speak to Krishna. But the end of first chapter, Ashru Purna Kulekshanam Vishidantam Idam Vakyam. Arjuna's eyes were filled with tears and Arjuna was in misery and distress. Why? Because in spite of being so close to Krishna, he was not taking shelter of Krishna. He was only observing the armies with his own vision, using his own intelligence. Therefore, the first chapter is the story of all of us, that we are all in Krishna's chariot. So ISKCON is like Krishna's chariot, and we are all boarded that chariot. And Krishna is there, the deities are there, sound vibration is there, Krishna is riding this chariot. And like Arjuna, we have boarded this chariot, but simply boarding the chariot is not sufficient. So if one simply stands on this chariot, but observes the situation around him, without taking shelter of Krishna's instruction, then we are all like Arjuna in the first chapter. And therefore, in spite of being in the chariot, Arjuna was crying. So many times we feel, I'm in ISKCON, I'm in association, still I'm miserable. They told me, chant Hare Krishna and you'll be happy. But I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but more I'm chanting, more I'm becoming miserable. What is the problem? Is there something wrong? So we are on this chariot, but the question is, how much tuned are we in to Krishna's instructions and Krishna's transcendental sound vibration? And therefore Krishna began speaking the Gita from the second chapter when Arjuna said, I stop taking shelter of my own intelligence and I am now using my intelligence to take shelter of your instructions. And then Krishna began speaking the Gita. And he began the Gita by smashing Arjuna's misconceptions and destroying his false ego. So therefore, as far as the instructions are concerned, Jada Bharat is instructing Rahuguna. The instructions will be effective to the extent we take shelter of those instructions. So that is the first principle, the first point which we are discussing today. That the instructions will be potent and effective to the extent we take shelter of those instructions. And number two, what prevents us from taking shelter of those instructions is our conditioned mind. And that is the topic of the verse today. Nayavat etat mana atmalingam. This mind creates misidentification because of identifying with the false ego. So the false ego creates false designation. So the soul is originally pure. The identity is, I am part and parcel of Krishna. But now, I am identifying with different things. I am male. One person develops multiple identities. I am male. I am Indian. I am successful. I am a good speaker. I am a good devotee. You know, I am a successful corporate man. I am this. I am that. So many multiple identities we create. I am a father. And then, what happens is, all of these identities are dependent on certain material circumstances which are beyond our control. So a person has simultaneously multiple identities, because when you have false ego, then no one false designation can completely sum up your material situation. So the material situation is comprised of a conglomerate of various material designations. And those designations are dependent on a multiple, sum total of various material factors, which are beyond our control. So simultaneously, I may be an employee, I may be a successful manager, a father, a devotee, and at the same time, a good husband. So now there are so many factors on which we become dependent. I become dependent on the job, I become dependent on the existence of my son, on the wife, and on the situation as a devotee. So any of this factor changes. So I get sacked from the company. So immediately my identity as a successful manager is destroyed. And therefore, a person always wants to retain and regain his identity. And that causes difficulty and anxiety and frustration. Because that was his identity, that I am a successful manager. But being kicked out of the job or being given a promotion is not something in my control. So I am dependent on the whims and fancies of some other conditioned soul who is also under the influence of the six anarthas. And therefore, when he decides something, his decision affects me because that is one of my false identities. Then one of my identities is I am a father, so something happens to the child fails the exam or goes through some difficulty, that affects me because that is my identity. And therefore, millions of identities we have created, and all of these identities are constantly changing, and we are struggling to prevent that change. And because of that struggle, we are constantly in anxiety, because it is impossible to prevent a change which is inevitable. And therefore, a conditioned soul is forever in anxiety because of this false ego. Therefore, here we find that in response to Arjuna's problem, when Arjuna is saying, I cannot fight, Krishna is not giving him instructions on how to improve his fighting techniques. Krishna is giving instruction on how he can overcome attachment to his false ego and realize his real identity. And for someone, this may appear to be, you know, a little strange, and one may not see the connection that Arjuna has one problem and Krishna is going on, Deinosmin yatha dehe na jayate mriyate va kadachin, the soul is eternal, the soul doesn't die, the soul is this, soul is that. Are, Arjuna has a fighting problem. His problem is he doesn't want to fight and he has some problem on the battlefield. And what is this series of verses on soul, 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 all in the second chapter? So just like if someone goes to the doctor or someone goes to the mechanic and tells the mechanic, my car is not working properly, you know, there is some problem in the engine. And the mechanic says, open your mouth. And he says, what is the connection? There is some problem with my car. What you are telling me to open my mouth for? I don't see the connection. So someone may think that Arjuna's problem and the solution Krishna is giving has no connection. And Arjuna is saying, I am speaking about non-violence. I want to be non-violent. I am a good soul. And Krishna is saying, no. What you are saying is violence, because material attachment is the cause of all violence. So through material attachment, identification with the false ego, the ultimate idea is you want to control. So one wants to develop attachment to someone else or something else with a desire to control. So sometimes we can get that control through aggression, but when we cannot control people with aggression, then we control them through our humility. So ultimately the motive is control. And therefore, this false ego is the thing which creates that sense of material attachment. And the example is given just like a car. There is a truck. And then there is a rope which is attached to the back of the truck. And I tie the rope around my waist and around my neck. And then the truck moves at full speed. So when the truck moves at full speed, I am connected by the rope to the truck. And the truck is moving left, right, center in all directions, going through various paths, ditches and highways and thorny bushes, stones. So the truck is moving at full speed and I am being dragged here and there. I am trying to save myself and protect myself. And I am thinking, why the truck driver is driving like this? Why is giving me so much of misery? Why is putting me in so much of trouble and anxiety? And I'm being bruised and blood is coming out. But actually, the truck driver is not at fault. The connection which I have developed through the rope, that is putting me in misery. And I'm trying my level best with my own effort to stop the truck from moving, which is impossible. Therefore, the only thing within my control is to cut the rope. And when I cut the rope, then the truck may go on moving, can go on circling in all directions, but I will not be affected. So that is the solution which is being recommended in all the shastras. That the attachment of the false, through the false ego of the soul to different material identities, that must be cut. And therefore, these instructions which are given, when absorbed within the mind, cut that false identity. And so the greatest method which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended for cutting and slashing that connection of the soul with the body and the false designation is the mantra, the chanting of the holy names. Mantra, that which delivers the mind from that false identity. But then the question arises that when we are chanting the mantra, still we don't experience freedom from these designations. And Jiva Goswami gives the reason, that is because of the effects of offenses in chanting the holy name. So this is the third part, that okay, the instructions can free us and we can actually experience freedom from the designation of false ego by taking shelter of these instructions. But the mind doesn't experience this freedom because there is absorption. Absorption in material identity to such an extent that even when one takes shelter of a spiritual process like chanting, we commit offenses. And it gives five effects of offenses of chanting. And all of us experience the effects of these offenses at every time during the course of our practice of bhakti. The first effect of offense, he says, is known as kautilya or crookedness. So kautilya or crookedness means that one externally shows respect to Krishna and devotees, but internally there is a feeling of disrespect for devotees and Krishna. Because of social pressure, we may not express it, but internally there is disdain, disrespect, and negative feelings for devotees and Krishna. And he says this is the effect of offenses, kautilya. And he gives the example of Duryodhan. He says kautilya, to show the character of kautilya or crookedness, means Duryodhan was externally showing respect for Krishna, but internally he was disrespectful of Pandavas and he always wanted to kill the Pandavas. Therefore, Krishna did not take all of his show of service to him seriously. And this happens because one goes through the effects of offenses. So we find that even many of the people who were serving Srila Prabhupada closely, like there was one, this devotee who got affected by the moon landing episode, and he was serving Srila Prabhupada very closely, but he developed a feeling of disrespect for Srila Prabhupada. Although he was such a great personality, but the nature of offense is such that one can develop a crooked mentality from within even when associating with great souls. And therefore, he started finding fault in Srila Prabhupada's behavior. And then one day he came to Srila Prabhupada and said, "I cannot stay here anymore. I have to go, but I don't have money to go home." And Prabhupada was so merciful, he gave him money to go home. And he said, "You go home, but send back the money later." And in this way, we find that even someone who has been in the close circle of Srila Prabhupada, they can get affected and can develop a crooked mentality. And many times we find that, just like Ajamil, it is described that Ajamil, his chanting was offenseless. And that is like a greatest shock to most people. That you go through meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, all kinds of things. And Vishwanath Chakra Thakur says his chanting was offenseless. And I think that I have been practicing for so many years, giving up so many things, and my chanting is offensive. And Ajamil's chanting is offenseless. Why? Because he did not deliberately commit those sinful activities because he was not aware of the glories of the holy name. And sometimes, if you are not aware of the glories of Krishna and the glories of the holy name, sometimes you get more benefit. And you develop appreciation also, just like when we are new in the movement. But because of offense to the holy name, gradually the crookedness develops. Just like when I was in Seattle, one devotee was telling this story. It's a real story of a temple in Africa. This was in Nigeria or some place, where the pujari was performing arati. And as he was performing arati, he was alone in the temple. There was no one. It was a very beautiful, opulent temple. And suddenly, a gang of dacoits entered, all blacks and very powerful with weapons. And they came in and pointed the gun to the pujari. And then one of the leaders of the gang, he asked the pujari, showing to the deities. There was Radha Krishna deities, beautiful black Krishna deities, and Radharani, white marble deities. He said, "What are these?" And the pujari said, "This is our god." Immediately, he looked at these deities, then took the gun down, and then he pointed to all of his other friends. He said, "Black man has white wife. Very good." And immediately left. And he left. And they didn't do anything to the temple. So he was impressed. Black man has white wife. That is very prestigious. Very impressive. And many times, Jiva Goswami describes also in this connection that even if we are performing deity worship, but because of the seva prad, then sometimes there are effects of the offenses created. And therefore, when one practices devotional service with full awareness and knowledge, then the responsibility is much more. And therefore, this crookedness creates a kind of barrier. That is known as Kautilya. The second is known as Ashraddha or faithlessness. So, the second effect is, which follows this, is one starts thinking that the glories of the holy name described in the Shastras and all these speakers they are describing, they cannot be so great as they appear to be or as they make it out to be. You know, that just one mantra is chanted and millions of lives of sins are destroyed, and one mouse, its hair gets on fire and he moves his head and he gets liberation. This is too much. And therefore, one gradually starts losing faith in the verdict of the scriptures and also in the devotees. That is known as Ashraddha. And many times, because of lack of one's ability to practice the process of Krishna consciousness strictly, one is looking for loopholes in the philosophy and in the devotees to justify one's own problematic condition. And therefore, Ashraddha is a very critical stage, lack of faith. And so following this, when there is lack of faith, okay, so now I am not respecting devotees and I do not have faith in devotees. So that means I am not taking shelter of Krishna or the devotees. So if I am not taking shelter of Krishna or devotees, I have to take shelter somewhere. We have to take shelter somewhere. So where do I take shelter? The third stage is known as abhiniveshitaha. Vastu abhiniveshitaha means taking shelter of material objects which erode our faith in Krishna. Habits which slacken our, take away our faith in Krishna. We become absorbed in that. Therefore, one becomes involved and engrossed in mundane activities. And Jiva Goswami says, like various kinds of prajalpa, for example, newspaper, or various kinds of other books and other magazines and other material activities which appear to be more attractive than direct Krishna conscious activities. Because of offense to the holy name, I'm not able to concentrate on the holy name, not get any taste in the direct devotional processes of chanting, hearing Bhagavatam, deity worship, holy dham and association, so I start taking shelter of other things, which may be remotely appearing to be connected to bhakti. And then one starts spending more time in those activities. That is known as vastu abhiniveshata. And then the fourth stage comes where one's bhakti or devotion slackens. That is known as bhakti shaithilya. Bhakti shaithilya means the slackening of one's devotional service. And when this happens, one becomes so much fixated in his happiness and distress of his body that small things start affecting him too much. So previously one may not be affected by so many material discrepancies, but because our bhakti has become shithil or slack, then we become too much affected by changes around us, either in our material conditions or the facilities or something which affects our body or circumstances surrounding us. And then we become too much absorbed in trying to adjust to those changes. And I may start thinking, I need more space, I need to improve my health, I need this, I need that, this is not working out properly, this is problem, he's problem, that situation is problem. So the situations are same only. And there were more problems when we started out with our bhakti. But now because of offense to the holy name, gradually there is a slackening of our bhakti and we become too much aware of all other things. And therefore, this creates a great difficulty. So when great devotees, they are involved in the preaching mission, they are completely absorbed and they are not affected by various changes around them. So those who are completely absorbed in the preaching mission, they go through their health problems, difficulties. They are going through all kinds of situations where there is discomfort. Because discomfort cannot be avoided. But only when the quality of one's bhakti is really strong, he can go through this whole process throughout his whole life. Otherwise, one has no control over the external circumstances, including his own body. And then the fifth stage is bhakti kritabhimanatvam. Or the fifth effect of offense is false pride arising out of one's devotional endeavor. False pride arising out of one's efforts performed in bhakti. And that also creates difficulty. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna tested me twice. First, he took away everything. And secondly, he gave me everything. And then he was seeing how I respond. Vijayaprabhu was telling the story of one devotee who was a very good book distributor. And he went on distributing so much, he became like top. And then he started feeling that, okay, I'm better than others, and started creating some offense. And then because of that, somehow Krishna did not allow him to stay in the association and he left the devotees. And then he went back to his old ways, and then he went out for surfing. And he was surfing in the ocean. And as he was surfing in the ocean, one day he found that he is surrounded by a shark. A shark was coming. A fish, shark fish. And he could see the fin and it was coming straight towards him. But because he had performed devotional service before and he was with devotees, immediately he thought that, my God, now there is no way I can be saved in this situation. Only Krishna can save me. And he said, oh Krishna, I have served you and somehow I committed this mistake and left the association. And now I am finished. The shark is coming. It is going to eat me up. If somehow I am saved, I promise I immediately will go back to the temple and join. And the shark came, like this, and just made a U-turn and went back. And he went back and joined the temple. And he said, and he stayed on after that, and his whole attitude changed. His whole attitude towards devotees and his service changed. And Jiva Goswami says, this is the greatest trap, the fifth, because when we perform our devotional activities, we become expert at that, and then when we do it very well, then the feeling of false pride comes, and when the false pride comes, we may commit offenses. And that offense, bhakti kritabhimanatvam, arising out of pride, it takes away that feeling which we may have for other devotees. And Krishna does not tolerate the presence of such a person in the association of devotees. And therefore, bhakti is a very mysterious process. And one has to be faithful. At the same time, Jiva Goswami giving commentary on the second chapter, first canto. Tata shraddha dhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktiya shruta grihitya. If you have to go back to Godhead, we need to have two qualifications. Tata shraddha dhana. Shraddha dhana means one has to be faithful. And number two, munayo. Munayo means thoughtful. So just being faithful is not sufficient. One has to be thoughtful also. And thoughtful means thoughtful about what is the process, what are the pitfalls, how I am following this process perfectly. It is a very mysterious science. And therefore, improper execution of this science can create more severe, drastic reactions than not practicing the process also. So, tat shraddha dhana and munayo. If there were no negative reactions, there would be no discussion on offenses to holy name. There would be no description of offenses in the nectar of devotion. But the problem is, because we do not take this description seriously, we commit the same blunders, get caught and get choked. And when we are choked, we are wondering why we are getting choked. And then we start thinking, he is choking me, they are choking me, he choked me. When he first gave me the mala, itself he choked me. And therefore, I got into trouble. And why did I get into this in the first place? And that is because of improper execution of this. So, Jiva Goswami says, one has to be faithful and one has to be thoughtful. And then only one can cut through the shackles of false ego, which is binding the soul to the mind. And then as Prabhupada says, the mind is the cause of both material bondage and liberation. Nayam janome sukha dukha hetu na devatatma griha karma kala mana param karanam amananti sansara chakram. So this mind is the root cause. And therefore the transcendental sound vibration is the weapon to slash through the contamination of the mind. But to keep this weapon sharp, we have to take proper steps. Otherwise, if the weapon is covered with a coating of offenses, then that same weapon becomes blunt and you cannot cut through that illusory attachment. So, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Srinathji Prabhu, anything you would like to add? Any questions? Madan Gopal Prabhu?
We are just discussing about Vastu Abhinivesheta. In that, I am just asking one question. Maybe you can help us. Sometimes we see Lord Krishna, like Prabhupada says that if somebody worships demigods like Lord Surya for health and thinking that he can do Lord Sun God, Sun God for health, and thinking that he can be independently helpful than Lord Shri Krishna, that is not proper mentality.
Right.
So sometimes we devotees may take shelter of some processes like therapies, diet, yoga for our health. So, but exactly how to have proper mentality so that we don't make this fault of Vastu Abhinivesheta?
This can only be asked by Madan Gopal Prabhu. Yes, you're right. We have to be very careful. When you do the things in the association of devotees, there is check and balance. And it has to be yukta in proper measure. So, when you have association of devotees, then other devotees monitor your activities closely. Right? And especially if people like Govind Prabhu are there, so we are safe. So we always need the shelter of senior devotees who are always keeping a close watch, because sometimes we would push off during Bhagavatam class and start doing yoga. Sometimes before we used to do, not now. So, but then we got some feedback and so again came back. So we have specific timings for doing that. Or at certain time I had got addicted to newspaper like anything. And during Kargil war, we used to read for hours together after lunch. It became like a coffee house, you know. Everyone come together after lunch and discussing for so many hours, reading from the newspapers. So it began by saying that, okay, we should know what is going on. Otherwise people will ask questions and we will not know. And then we will be embarrassed. So it began with just headlines, then went on to front page, then from front page straight it goes to sports page, and then goes to other pages, and then gradually it became like Kali Puran. You read the whole thing in detail, and then again we have to have meeting and decide, okay, no newspaper. So like that, there is always something or another which can absorb our attention. I don't know. Someone told me this story. I read it in one of the notes taken from the Bhagavatam class here, that there was one health fanatic with Srila Prabhupada. He was traveling in a car and he was giving description of various rasayan. This rasayan, that rasayan is very good for health. Swamiji, this rasayan is very good for the skin. And so many rasayan he had created, and he was glorifying Srila Prabhupada about that. And then the driver turned back and said, the brake has failed. The brake of the car has failed. And then Prabhupada turned to this man and said, now which rasayan you will use? And then he said, now only one rasayan will work, Hare Krishna. And then after some time the driver said, now it's okay, the car is alright. So then even when Prabhupada was there, there would be people who would come and advertise various things as something which is great and very wonderful. And I agree with you that there is always a danger, and all of us have gone through, even email, you know, it's when the taste goes down for chanting and hearing and this, so I just go start seeing email, okay, let us see who is remembering me and whom I have to answer, and then that goes on for 2, 3, 4 hours, right? And then you realize that, okay, maybe now I am taking shelter of this more than the holy name and the Harikatha. So at every moment the danger is there, because we are in a preaching mission and we are dealing with so many other things for the preaching mission. So at any time there is danger of our overdoing it and getting absorbed more than necessary. So therefore, what is the solution? Have senior devotees all around us who are good friends, and we are open to their feedback and suggestion. That is the most important thing. Because suggestion will come, feedback will come, but that will only come when they know that there is a relationship, and the relationship will continue depending on how we take the feedback. So if the feedback comes and then we don't accept it, then the devotees don't give further feedback also. And then this is the history, that in the 80s so many problems took place in ISKCON, because there were many personalities who were doing a lot of service, but they were also getting into trouble in various ways, but there was no one to give feedback. So gradually you see your own friend or your god brother or your dear one sinking into the quicksand slowly, but you can't do anything because he is not interested in taking your help. So therefore what happens is, a person goes on sinking and a group of people keep watching that and keep discussing and give running commentary on how he's sinking. Now his leg has gone down. Now his hand is gradually coming down. Now his right hand has gone down, left hand is up. Now his left hand is also going in. But still his palm is up, and now one finger is remaining, and that has also gone. So then this will be the condition. So therefore, one has to take this process seriously of the association of devotees. And that is what is saving us in many ways. And with friends like you, it's always good protection. Jai. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, sir. You are speaking about Kautilya, hard-heartedness, and that leading to all this leading to, it seems to be kind of vicious cycle. You commit offenses, then your chanting is bad, and then your chanting is inattentive, then again you commit more offenses. So if ultimately it boils down to inattentive and offensive chanting, how can we actually improve our chanting? Because there are many kinds of tips, but is there something more to it than simply tips and techniques?
See, like PhD, you know, nowadays if you do PhD, first 3 years are spent in defining the problem. So the professor tells the student, okay, you now figure out your problem. So he spends 2 years, and after spending 2 years, he comes to the prof and says, okay, now I have defined the problem. So in bhakti also, it takes several years just to define the problem. Define means you actually realize from within that, okay, now I am convinced this is a problem. Now I have to do something about it. Till then we keep hearing only that, oh, false ego, sounds interesting. Humility, it's a good concept. No one told me. Maybe it is something which is relevant, but at a certain stage. After I have fulfilled all my desires, then I'll work on it. So, several years are spent simply in hearing and nodding the head. But then, by the process of practicing bhakti, chanting, serving, purifying, then gradually it is revealed that, okay, false ego is a problem. I have to do something about it. This is the problem. And I must do something about it. And one starts working on dismantling the false ego with earnestness. So then, at that stage, then you start working on other things. And then you understand, okay, offensive chanting is a problem and I must work on it. So all our problems start because we have not identified our problem seriously. And therefore, even to identify the problem seriously and take that problem seriously, it takes several years. And then you can gradually go on improving and start implementing the solution. And solutions are there. So many techniques and so many books on holy name chanting and seminars, and there is no end to all the suggestions which are available. Now, you also hold so many cards with you during chanting on, you know, do this posture, position, there's so many things. But the whole concept of our taking the problem and taking the solution seriously, that manifests only after a certain stage of purification. Because initial several years are simply spent fighting with the senses. So therefore, one has a book in hand, but someone is attacking with sword, how he can read the book? Half the time is gone in just, you know, fighting the person. So in between fighting, in between you see something and continue fighting. How can you read? So only when the fighting subsides to some extent, then you get more time to absorb and think, okay, what is going on exactly? So initial several years just spent subduing sense objects, fighting with lust, you know, all those other things. And then gradually when goodness comes, then you can become thoughtful. So our faithfulness keeps us going. But if you do not become thoughtful soon enough, then it will create difficulty. So therefore, one has to be also absorbed in understanding the philosophy to whatever extent possible. But because of the initial years of influence of mode of passion, one is not able to focus and concentrate on understanding the problem so seriously. So our sambandha jnana is very weak. Because artho, jigyasu, artharthi, jnani, out of these four categories, as someone sent a mail that day, from, I think, quoting Jiva Goswami or someone, that artho means one who comes out of distress is shudra-like. Artharthi, who comes seeking wealth, is Vaishya-like. And Jigyasu, one who is inquisitive and wants to know, is curious, is Kshatriya-like. And only Jnani, who comes seeking the absolute truth, is Brahman-like. So how many people in Kali Yuga come to Hare Krishna movement as Jnani, seeking the absolute truth? As I have discussed before, generally it is Artho, Artho, Artho and Artho. Distressed, distressed, more distressed and most distressed. So therefore, Kalau Shudra Sambhava, it fits in perfectly. Kali Yuga is full of Shudras, therefore the mentality of Shudra is lamenting, and therefore, because of lamenting and because of being in distress, most of the people get connected. So therefore, my initial premise or initial motivation of getting connected to the Hare Krishna movement is not Bhagavan realization and love of God anyway. It is some particular problem I am facing at this current moment, and I am miserable and I don't know why. So then, after initial few years, when the misery subsides and the mode of passion goes down, then I start thinking, okay, they say that prema pumartho mahan. So I think, anyway, I am here. So let me start working on this. And then one starts taking this whole concept of loving Krishna and attaining pure unalloyed love for Krishna seriously only after some time. And therefore, the intensity of practice of someone who has started searching for God and someone who has just stumbled into God is much different. So most of us have stumbled. We were walking by and katak, someone tripped us and we fell in somewhere and it was Hare Krishna. And then we get up and then we see, okay, since I'm here, let me start taking this seriously. And therefore, because that sambandha gyan is weak, therefore after some time when the initial miseries subside, I am thinking, okay, it is boring. What am I doing here? Because I have not come with a desire of loving Krishna. Whereas Hare Krishna, the product which you get is love for Krishna. And I was never originally interested in that product anyway. So I was interested only in becoming misery free. And that I have become. So I have become misery free. I have not so much intensity to love Krishna. So I am confused devotee at this stage. So at this stage, if again I get connected to material activities, then immediately revert back. And therefore it is at this stage that one should be free from complacency and get into the sambandha gyan more, and that is the hearing and chanting. Should become more intense, then gradually by increased hearing, chanting, and number two, if you get close association of an elevated devotee, he pulls you to his level. And therefore, if you get closely connected, even if you have not originally joined with a jnani motivation, still your desire for attaining pure love for Krishna increases. That is the number one problem. Because nobody has clearly defined goal when he first gets connected. So therefore, it is like coming to a hospital without knowing that you are diseased, you are sick, and you have come for a drink in the hospital. You are thirsty and there is also a juice center, so you come there. And then while you are drinking, they say you also have some disease, you should get treated. So your thirst is quenched, but you are not convinced that I am sick. So it is very difficult for you to continue staying in that hospital. So therefore, all the difficulties after initial period comes because of a very weak sambandha. So how you will take the abhideya seriously? And there is no question of prayojan in such a stage. So therefore, the sambandha gyan can be made strong when there is strong hearing and chanting through the service of Vaishnavas. It's like that. Okay, Jai Shila Prabhupada ki, Thai Gaur Premanande.